I'm joined today by Vincent Lemoine, a senior staff data scientist here at Anadarko, who I'm super excited to talk to, as I know he has a lot of very interesting and fun things to say on these topics. Hello.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for having me. Thanks. As you mentioned, I am senior staff data scientist at Anadarko. I'm also managing a team of data engineers for our drilling and completions U.S. onshore operations. Been with the company for almost 4 years, and the whole time I've always worked in some way or another, U.S. onshore production, reservoir, subsurface technology stuff. Started off in a small group. It was a centralized kind of help desk with all the assets. And then I transitioned over to the advanced analytics emerging technologies team when that first started, and was a big part in bringing it up to speed, hiring roughly 7 data scientists, and then taking in a few other from the company and essentially converting them to data scientists. So that put us about 10 to 12 people total. And as that progressed, we grew, added more data scientists, expanded our scope of work, depending on their talent, their background, and it's been successful thus far. And recently, I transitioned to my current role, which is running a team of data engineers and data scientists in the U.S. onshore drilling completions.
So why was the 8 team formed exactly here? What was the goal of the team, or what exactly do they work on in the 8 team?
Well, let's take a step back for a second. Data science is a fairly new term. It's a fairly new industry or career path, I guess you can say. It's really, really fresh. It's really new to oil and gas. Data science is very popular in tech companies and all this stuff. However, in oil and gas, specifically the company that I currently work for, Anadarko, there was a need years ago, about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. There was with a few new people that were hired on, there was a big push towards bringing in more advanced analytics, machine learning. This is something that was kind of unfamiliar. They don't really teach this in engineering, in petroleum engineering. You learn about mechanics, you learn about some fluid dynamics, you learn a lot about just your operations in oil and gas, how to appraise, how to reservoir, all these different things in there. And so they're not really taught these mathematical or statistical methods of analyzing data. And so there was a struggle at first to go from something like a univariate thing, such as how does the amount of proppant affect production? So you can't look at something like that just by itself, because there's so many other variables, so many other things that interact with each other. This is a very tough thing. So I'm kind of rambling here, but the point is you can see this current state where let's just say analytics or advanced analytics were in this industry. And so with the availability of new technology, new software, and ease of use, better user experiences and user interfaces and all this stuff, oil and gas started picking up on this with the right individuals, and then with the creation of the data science ladder. So you have the right people kind of pushing these things, like saying, hey, let's go from a univariate model to a multivariate model. And you keep it simple, like linear regression. So then you progress and you start going to nonlinear things, and now you're in the world of machine learning. Without letting them know you're doing machine learning. And then you go to the geos and you say, I can process that image. I can take that image and what if I can select the faults? You show me where you think the faults are, and I will take that and I will push it out to the rest of it. So again, I'm speaking very, very high level and in a little silly here. But the whole thing is, what you've essentially done is you're engaging your typical or your legacy oil and gas people, your petroleum engineers and your geoscientists, and you've now shown them that you can create things you can use like convoluted neural networks to do image recognition, size detection, or fault detection. Then you can use signal processes. You can change all this stuff to look at mud logs. So it just goes through there. And the thing is, with oil and gas, there's a lot of data. Just like I mentioned with seismic, as I mentioned with mud logs or sensor data as you're drilling and all this stuff, it's there's the data there, or there's a way to get the data in those different operations or those different parts, and then how do you process it? Well, then you can start seeing the progression of it.
That was a fantastic introduction to everything. Thank you so much. That was awesome. The purpose of this first episode, so let's just go real high level and do some maybe silly questions here. What exactly is data science?
Data science, okay. So there's data. The answer to that is data science is whatever the hiring manager calls data science. I think majority, people, what I think data science lives in is that solution mode, coming up with that answer. But that means you have to understand where the data is coming from, the state that was in, the quality of the data that was coming in, what was done before it got to you, and then where is it going next? Creating that minimal viable product, that first version of the solution, and sending it out for it to be consumed and hopefully make some kind of business decision. And then you're told to do it all over again because we need to improve it. So it's a very iterative, collaborative thing, but the data scientist needs to be aware of all that. The technical skills is usually, it all comes from all different areas. I've seen people from, it's generally a STEM background, your science, technology, engineering, mathematics kind of deal, and from all different disciplines. But there's usually a kind of skill set or mentality. It's someone who is, first of all, you have to be passionate about it, and you have to be persistent, because you, a data scientist will fail a lot. You will get, like Thomas Edison, he messed up. It was the little thing he said, hey, you messed up. It took you 100 tries to make a light bulb or something like that, but he got it right on the last one. I'm messing that analogy up. But the whole thing is, it takes a problem solver. It takes someone to ask questions with that technical background.
So one of the things I feel like I hear a lot is people saying maybe that they want to get into data science or maybe become a data scientist or something like that, again, along with some of this buzz and stuff. And I think people know that probably it's like a pretty lucrative place to be at right now. So you actually hired a lot of people. So how would you say if somebody said that they wanted to get into data science, wanted to start developing the skill set, or on the flip side also, like if you're hiring somebody, what are you looking for in that person to demonstrate for them to?
First things first, you got to have some kind of technical skill set, whether that's coming from like your engineering, and usually, I've seen good electrical engineering is a very good background for data science, because a lot of their work involves computers but electrical engineering, aerospace engineering, and those industries themselves use data science. Industrial engineering, people have good things with optimization and all that, so it's great if that. Then again, I mentioned math, statistics, computer science. There's so many different areas of computer science, but it's not database management, so it's not that kind of stuff. And I'm not a computer science guy. Everything I've learned from computer science about computers has been out of necessity. I've taught myself coding, scripting. That's another thing too. Best practices. So with coding, let's be honest, all data science is done in writing scripts, writing mm-hmm. codes. I think right now the choice, the number one, is Python.
Yeah.
And it's a fairly good one. And so, like I said, other skills we look at are version control. Do you have practice using version control? Because data science, you mess up a lot and you got to revert back to maybe something you did before. Are you sloppy with your coding? If you work in teams, do you have good practice with that? Good experience with that? What else? So just that kind of awareness on some of the other skills we look for. As far as personal skills or skills you really can't teach in a book. Things like a person who can ask questions, who's not afraid to ask questions. One thing that's really important about data science too is you don't have to hold their hand, because especially in our company, we don't have that many. We're not a Google, we're not a Amazon, we're not a tech company. The number of data scientists we have in the company are small relative compared to other things. And we need people who are self-driven, self-motivated. They don't need hand-holding, but they will ask the right questions. And what I mean by ask questions is questions related to solving the problem, not just like, well, how do I get this command to run or something like that. You know, that's fine. That's your debugging or whatever. But that are not afraid to just, they don't need to go to their boss every 5 minutes and say, hey, is this right? Is this okay? They have that mindset. So passionate, ask questions, self-motivated, good listening. They have to listen and also interpret. You're working with subject matter experts that don't know data science, and you know, you're still learning the industry. If you're a new data scientist to this industry, then you have to learn drilling or completions or seismic or reservoir, whatever, or production, whatever it is, and you have to kind of interpret. So it's a lot of those skills.
That concludes this episode of the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. And also, thank you to Selena Garza for helping put this podcast together. See you next time.